God answers when you have a need. And the more critical the need, the quicker he answers. If you're driving down the highway and you're about to have an accident, sometimes you can just say, Jesus, and he comes in and helps you out. You got to have a connection. The practice of prayer puts you in a place so when you need it right away, you don't have to get introduced to the Lord.
Welcome to The Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. We've been sharing a series on prayer, and today's message is why we should pray. With the things going on in our nation, with the economy, with the political unrest, with the virus, the people of God should dedicate themselves to prayer like never before. If there ever was a time that we need to pray, it is now. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
When we read and study the Word of God, one of the prevalent themes we will find in the Scriptures is the subject of prayer. You will find over 250 references to the word prayer or pray or praying in the Bible. Almost every one of us will spend some time in prayer. Believers and unbelievers alike will lift their eyes to the heaven. More often than not, they will ask God for something. When we look at the Scriptures, we can see where Abraham prayed, Moses prayed, David was a man of prayer, Daniel, of course, was a man who was noted for praying, Solomon prayed, Elijah, Job, Isaiah, and many others. In the New Testament, we see Cornelius praying, Anna in the temple praying, Simeon was there praying as well. We see prayers by Peter and Paul, and of course, the ultimate example of praying was Jesus Christ himself. It is Jesus who is our greatest teacher when it comes to the purpose and power of prayer. So I want to talk a little bit about why we should pray. Jesus went to church one time and saw the people doing everything at the church except praying. And he made a declaration. It was in Matthew 21:13. He said, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And if we're not careful, prayer will be relegated to something every once in a while in our churches instead of it being the main thing that we do. Because other things can come in, activities, programs, even good things can come in, fellowships and everything. We'll do everything except pray. But he said, my house should be a house of prayer. I guarantee you, if you take a survey and ask people, what is the number one thing that should be going on in church? Prayer would be down the list. It'll be weddings, funerals, fellowships, singing, worship, all kinds of things. But prayer will be down the list. In this same chapter, Jesus taught his disciples a principle of prayer. And after he spoke to the unfruitful fig tree and the tree withered, and his disciples were amazed, he said this to them. In verse 21, he says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what has been done to the fig tree, but you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. And if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, if God is our Heavenly Father, and he loves us, and he knows what we need, why do we have to pray anyway? If you already know what we need, why do we have to pray? In fact, what is the purpose for our prayer? The first thing I want to do is just go back to the basics and define what prayer is. Prayer is a spiritual communication between man and God. It's a two-way relationship, two-way communication in which man should not only talk to God, but man should listen to God. So prayer is just not talking to God. It's a communion. It's a coming together. To talk and to listen, to commune, to exchange. Prayer is a process through which God is acknowledged, God is praised, and God is celebrated. So if you want to have an effective prayer, you want to know how to engage God. And there's all kinds of prayer. Ephesians 5:18 says, and keep on praying with all kinds of prayer and supplications. There are a lot of different kinds of prayer, but basically it's our communicating with God. The practice of prayer involves meditation, adoration, telling God what you think about him, confessing, thanksgiving, supplication, making your request known to God. So then why should we pray? Number one, a prayer acknowledges God and invites him to get involved with what you're doing. We're inviting him to get involved. He may know what we want, but it would be kind of discourteous for him to just come in and step in without an invitation. One reason we pray is because we are inviting him in to become engaged with us in this earth realm. Lord, I need your help. God knows we need his help, but you might not know that to the point where you would engage him and ask him. In fact, that's what the writer tells us in the book of James. You have not because you didn't even ask. Well, you know what I need. Yeah, I know what you need, but God is not a lot different than we are. We are made in the image of God. You may have something and you're willing to give it to people, but you want them to at least ask, and you want them to ask nicely. Amen. Don't just come and hit me up and say, give me that. You want them to say, you are such a wonderful person. You've always been so kind, and I have a need. If you would, I would like for you to help me out, if you please, sir or ma'am. We're more likely to help them out when they're more courteous and pleasing in their way that they approach us than when they come and demand it. When Solomon was curious if God would come to the rescue of his people when they were in trouble, he asked God. If you read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, all through that chapter are a series of questions that Solomon is asking God about how he would become engaged when they're messing up. And let me just put it that way. Father, if we turn our backs on you and we follow other gods, and if we would just come back to you and call on you again, would you hear us and respond and heal us? God responded to him in the second Chronicles in the 7th chapter, verse 14. He says, if my people, this is a response to all the questions that Solomon asked. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will from heaven hear you, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their lands. God says, I'm going to do this, and I'm only going to do it when you come to me and you bow down and you ask me in prayer. There are times when we just need to ask the Lord. In fact, in the proverb where Solomon wrote, he said, in all of your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your path. You ought to have a prayer with you all the time, or at least be oriented so that you can pray immediately about things. And you need to know what you need to pray for and when you need to pray. I had an opportunity this morning. I was just in the office and I got a phone call from one of the contractors who was invited to bid on our project. The contractor said, I've been invited to bid. Now, I've been working with you for several years, and I'm not pleased that I've been invited to bid by the builder, because normally when I bid, he may give the job to somebody else. So what I'm saying to you, and I'm just speaking my mind, he said, if I don't work directly for you, then I'm not going to respond to this bid. While he was talking, because I'm working with my builder, and we know we're going to get competitive bids from everybody. We've already discussed that. I'd like for this company to do this job. They're really good. But while he was talking, I said, Lord, would you give me some wisdom on how to respond in this touchy situation? And I said, I need your wisdom. I put him on hold. I got to talk to somebody. I didn't go in, well, what's the problem and all of that. No, I want to find out how I need to respond because I don't want to stir up something that don't need to be stirred up. So I need some wisdom from God, and I need it now. I know I've already gave God adoration this morning before I left home. Now I got a quickie request. I need to know how to respond because I didn't know what to tell him. I'm trying to find out what he's getting at, what his problem is, and why he's upset. And then I got back on the phone and I said, first of all, I'd like to say, you have been so good to us at the Light of the World. You have saved us money and you are my preferred supplier. And I want you to do this job. My stewardship also tells me that we need to get competitive pricing if we're going to be good managers of God's money. But I'm going to make the decision on who we use, and I'd like to use you. And I'm not going to go with the cheapest, but I'd like to go with the best. And I'm not going to ask you to do me any favors, but if you're inclined to do so, here's a good opportunity to be a blessing to the Light of the World. He said, thank you very much. He said, I can agree to do that. Just forget I ever called you with it. I'll bid on it. And I said, I'm going to put my pastoral hat on. You are two contractors that I think need to work together. And God's desire is that you all work out whatever difficulty you have. And so since I'm in the middle, that's what I'd like to see. You a believer? He's a believer. But he was pleased. His mind changed. But the Lord said, don't tell him you're going to go and get a competitive bid first. Tell him how much you enjoyed working with him. Tell him how much of a blessing he's been. Tell him how great he is. Give him some adoration before you tell him you're going to bid it anyway. But I asked for the wisdom of God. I said, Lord, I need your help. I don't know what to say to him. And he said, just give him some adoration and then tell him you got to do business the right way. But that's the power of prayer. God answers when you have a need. And the more critical the need, the quicker he answers. If you're driving down the highway and you're about to have an accident, sometimes you can just say, Jesus. And he comes in and helps you out. You got to have a connection. The practice of prayer puts you in a place where when you need it right away, you don't have to get introduced to the Lord. He's not trying to listen to see whose voice that is. Who is that? Call it. I don't recognize the voice. Who are you? Prayer acknowledges God and invites him to get involved in your business, your life. That's why you want to pray. Secondly, prayer demonstrates your dependence on God, not your own power or ability to get something done. I am dependent upon you. I'm not smart enough to figure out how to engage myself in certain situations. I'm not smart enough for that. I know I need the wisdom of God. I can't tell you how many times I've stopped and called time out and took a 30 seconds and say, Lord, I need you to help me to answer this. I don't know what to do right now. I need your wisdom. I'm depending upon you. I was talking to a young man today who wants to go out into pastoring, and he says, I want to come over there so you can teach me everything you need to do about pastoring. I said, no, I tell you what you need. You need to call on God because there are situations every day you're going to have to deal with, and it ain't in no book. They don't teach you that at the Bible college. You're going to need to depend on God. If God calls you, you're going to need to trust him and depend upon him, and you're going to have to pray and seek his face daily for his wisdom. Prayer demonstrates your dependence upon God, not your own power or ability to get something done. We have to change the way we do things in our approach and not let prayer be the last thing we come to when we can't figure out what we need to do. I've been working on this. I've been trying to get out of debt. I've been doing all kinds of things. You know, Lord, I need to get out of debt and I need your wisdom on what to do. I've been trying to fix this relationship, and I need your wisdom on what to do. I've been working it. In fact, God is ready to work for us, but a lot of times he just wants us to get out of the way. You're in a battle. You're trying to fight. It's like you being in the ring, trying to fight the enemy or fight your foe or fight whatever situation you're in, and God says, I can take one swing and knock that out, but I can't do it because you're all up in the way. I don't want to hit you. You in the way. You right in the way. And God is trying to say, well, as soon as they get out the way, I can take care of this. And how many of you ever got to a place where you just finally gave up and said, Lord, just have your way. And then he fixed it right then. He said, now, if you'd have done that a long time ago, it would have been fixed. Amen. See, because when God does something, he gets the glory. And while you're working on it, guess who gets the glory? Well, I told him. Yeah, I straightened that out. Yeah, you got the glory for that. You straightened it out. You thought, and then it came back loose. When Peter and John and the early church leaders were threatened and beaten in Acts chapter 4 because they preached the word, they knew that they were not going to be able to get the work done unless God moved for them. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your words with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, somebody say, after they prayed. After they prayed, the place where they were was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Acknowledge God. God, you have the power. I can't do it on my own. Here's the third reason we ought to pray, is because prayer changes things. Prayer moves God, and God moves mountains. There was a woman in the scriptures named Hannah. She wanted a son so bad that every time she went to church, she wept. She cried at the temple before the Lord. She cut up so much calling on the Lord, Eli thought something was wrong with her. Thought she was drunk, thought she'd been drinking, thought she was on drugs. He said, what's wrong with you? Every time I see you, you're just making all that noise. You're calling, she said, I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, in the bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And verse 19 says, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I ask the Lord for him. Because I asked. If she hadn't asked, she wouldn't have got it. And she persisted in prayer. She kept holding it up before the Lord. First of all, I know you can do it, Lord. That's why I'm asking you. And I can't do it on my own. This is an impossible situation. And she kept going to him over and over and over. I will tell you, God hears prayers, but sometimes you have to stay with that prayer and go over and over and over. He's not into the microwave drive-through prayer result business. We want to drive through and punch the button on the front, drive on the other side and get our answer and get our results and keep going. Okay, God, thank you. Now, what do you think would happen in the church if you prayed today and got the answer to your prayer in 5 minutes, 3 minutes? Here's my answer. Guess what you're going to do? Next day, you're going to have a whole big list. Okay, God, you did that. Now I want this and that and this and that. And everybody's going to be lined up, just hitting up God for what he can do for them. Why? Because he answers. You just ask, I'm going to do it. You ask, I'm going to do it. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes God knows you don't need what you're asking for. And he's not going to give it to you. And you don't even know you don't need it. You don't know it's to your detriment. But he's not going to need it, and he ain't going to even say nothing about it. Take this illustration. Some of you have young children that's 2 years old or 3 years old, and they like to play with things. If you had a sharp razor on the table and they wanted to play with it, you're not going to argue with them. You're not going to negotiate with them. You're going to grab it and put it away, say, no, you can't play with that. You don't care how much they holler and what tantrum they do. You're going to say, no, you can't have this, because you know it's going to cut them. They have no idea. It might be shiny and appealing or whatever, but you're just going to say, no, you can't have that. Sometimes that's what God does for when we are praying. You can't have that. I think I mentioned to some people a woman who was in great distress. She was praying for her marriage because her husband would not be intimate with her. She was distraught. She was just praying that that would change. She didn't know he had AIDS. He knew it. He died from it. But she was praying, Lord, change my situation. The Lord didn't answer her prayer. He's God. So while you praying, if ain't nothing happening, don't start decreeing and declaring and demanding. I decree and I demand right now you do this. And God might say, okay. Sometimes you have to ask the Lord, Lord, what should I even be asking for in this situation? You got to get to the point where you say, now, Lord, help me to know what to ask for so that I can ask according to your will. If God's will is for you not to have that, do you still want it? So then why don't you ask him what his will is about it? What do you say? This is what I want. I want that job, Lord. Suppose you were praying for a job and God gave it to you in the World Trade Center the day before the planes hit it. That's the one I want. The Lord said, no, you can't have that one. I want that one. God knows. He says, we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we have to get serious about things that when God places on our heart, God will place something in your heart sometimes on what you need to pray for, what you need to believe for, what you need to stand for. And when he does, then that's where you need to grab a hold on and hold on and stay there until God moves for you. When we believe and know that God can, we'll continue to call on him fervently until he moves, until he moves. I had to learn this in my growth in the Lord. So we have all kind of teachings. Just begin to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Just begin to do all this. And you do that, and if you're honest with yourself, you've been frustrated because God never answered whatever that you was trying to declare. But I had to learn, I better seek him first. Jesus says, I don't do anything unless the Father says it. I better hear what God is saying. And Lord, what are you saying about my situation and where I need to stand? And when God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, then I can relax and just say, okay, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to stand still. I'm not going to do anything. But when God says, just believe me, keep on praying and keep on believing and declaring, I'm going to do that. Then the fourth reason we ought to pray is because God answers prayer. Prayer changes things. Thirdly, fourthly, God answers prayer. We have so much evidence of a God who answers prayer that we don't need any other reason to pray. But that God answers prayer. If Moses stood here, he would tell you how God opened the Red Sea and how God provided for them in the wilderness. If David was here, he'd tell you God can take a little stone and kill a giant with it. God answers prayer. Daniel would tell you about lions in a lion's den, how he can take a ferocious lion and make him a pillow to sleep on. God answers prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. In fact, he got thrown in the den for praying. He got thrown in there because he wouldn't pray to the king, but he kept praying to his God. The three Hebrew boys would tell you that he's able to take the heat out of a superheated furnace, and he can take the fire out of whatever you're dealing with. Job would tell you that he'll make your end better than your beginning. You can ask the woman with the issue of blood. She'll tell you that God answers prayer. Blind Bartimaeus would tell you that God answers prayer. Peter would tell you that God answers prayer when the church prayed all night for him to get out of prison. He knew God answers prayer. I don't know about the people who were praying. They wouldn't even let him in when he knocked on the door. Say, that can't be Peter. God was working and they were still praying. Let him out, Lord. Peter said, knock, let me in. So if you don't believe what you've read or what you've heard today, you can just look around in this congregation. There are people in this congregation that will tell you that God answers prayer.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and there are believers all over the world and all over the country that are taking time this month to pray. Many of you are in a season of fasting and prayer, and that is exactly what we need in our country today. This week is a monumental week as we are expecting the transition of our presidency, and with all of the turmoil that's been going on around the political activities, we need to come and stand in the gap for our nation. It was God who says, I was looking for a man who would stand in the gap so I would not have to destroy the nation. Would you be one of the people who are standing in the gap, one who will intercede on behalf of the nation and on behalf of the people? We need God's presence. We need God's power to do a miraculous thing to bring unity and to bring civility. I would like to give you an opportunity to come and be our guest at the Light of the World. We are still meeting in person every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're in North Houston on Old Humble Road. We're near Highway 59 north of the Beltway. This is a place where you can believe, a place where you can belong. You may be listening to me and you are not connected to a church family. We welcome you to come and join with us. You may also join us online at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. If you are in a place where you need prayer, call our prayer line number right now at 281-964-1393. That's 281-964-1393, and we will agree with you in prayer. For the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.